These are clay lips that God uses. He used a jackass in the Bible to speak, and he's going to use another one right now. I promise. But the responsibility is the fact that you can hear me means you can hear God's word. And whether or not you listen and understand, that responsibility falls on you. All I can do is deliver it. I can't make you listen. There's a difference between hearing and listening. My wife tells me that all the time. All the time. I'm going to jump back to the parable and show you a couple things real quick. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. She covered it, and I didn't know she was going to cover it like that. But this is what it says. It says, later that day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. The reason I read that part, I want to make sure you know that this is Jesus talking. This isn't an apostle. This isn't an opinion. This isn't someone. This is Jesus Christ talking to the people. This is Jesus Christ saying, listen. And I'm reading out of the NLT version. And I want you to hear what it says in verse 3. The first word it says, he says, listen. Listen. And then it goes into the parable. When Jesus says, listen, what should we do? Listen. When my wife says, listen, after the fourth time, I usually try to listen. But when Jesus says it, it's time to drop what we're doing and focus, because he has something for us that's eternal. And what we're going to talk about today is eternal. This isn't temporary. This isn't something that'll just last you through the week unless your soil is conditioned wrong. But if you will hear, and not only hear, but absorb the words and understand what God's speaking through me tonight, this will carry on for eternity. At the very end of that parable, in the middle of that parable, in verse 9, it says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. These are God's word, not mine. So, in front of you is basically an instruction manual of how to ensure spiritual growth. And that's what we're fixing to go through. And the very first one, is be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. Be attentive. What does that mean? It means to pay attention. It means to evaluate. It means to be focused on. It means to look into. It means to check out the conditions of the soil, the condition of our heart. Everybody in here has soil in their heart. Everybody's heart is in a certain condition. And I challenge you and I encourage you to look and peer into your heart and look at the condition of your heart and seek God and ask him the areas. There's a lot of you looking and say, you know what, there's some good soil in there. Some of us may look and say, that may need to be tilled up a little bit in that area of my life. And there's some of you that say, you know what, I need to dump that pot out. Refill it completely. But the great thing about it is, as we go through this teaching, know that God will meet you exactly where you are. And he will meet you exactly where you are tonight if you will allow him to. So the very first thing to ensure spiritual growth is to be attentive to the condition of the soil in your heart. See, the soil has the power to help grow the seed or help kill the seed. God's going to plant the seed. And his seed doesn't change. His seed is omnipresent. It is omniscient. It is all-powerful. It is all-knowing. His seed moves mountains with a thought. His seed defeated death. His seed does not change. His seed is perfected. The soil in which he plants it in determines the growth, just like Taylor said. So the soil determines whether or not the seed is killed or it grows. Let's go over four types of soils. Number one, the path. Matthew 13, 18 through 19 says, listen, there's that word again. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. If anybody walks along a path, like at the parks or whatever, they're not soft. It's not like walking through a nice soft garden. They're hard. And imagine scattering seed across that path. What's going to happen to it? Just like the parable says, the birds are going to eat it up. It's not going to penetrate the soil. It's not going to have roots. It's going to easily be devoured. It's going to automatically be devoured. And what this is talking about, and I'm going to read this scripture, and you don't have to go there, but in 2 Corinthians, in the fourth chapter, it says, in the third verse, it says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Perishing. That means no salvation. I'm going to stop right there because this is the first and foremost of all. If anybody in here tonight does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that does not know if tonight was the last breath you take that you would spend eternally with the Father or eternally with the enemy, I encourage you, I plead to you, please come see myself, Taylor, Courtney, Whitney, one of your table hosts after class, because you do not want to go another day not knowing that you're in right standing with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And it goes on to say, and it says, so if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing, unsaved. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about Jesus. That's along the path right there. That's that type of soil. That is what this looks like. I'm not a gardener, but I don't want this in my yard. I don't want this in my heart. This is not what I want people seeing when I walk down the road. This is not what I want my children to see. This is what the path looks like when God tries to sow seed on the path of a hardened heart. There's no life in it. Number two is rocky soil. There's no depth to the soil. The seed sprang up quickly but was scorched quickly because there was no depth. Matthew 13, 20 and 21 says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Because when trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the one that you see hooting and hollering on a Sunday morning, I got the word, and they walk out that door and society hits them in the mouth. Their finances don't look like they want them to look. Their wife or husband isn't acting like they want them to act. Their marriage doesn't look like they want it to look. Their kids aren't being how they want to be. They don't like their job. They don't like their in-laws. All of these persecution and troubles, it could be their health. It could be a disease. It could be all of these things. The minute they walk out of that door, the enemy's saying, uh-uh. No, no, I see your soul. All right, that's rocky. That ain't no good. You kind of look like this. You got a little bit of something when you walk out the door, but the minute you hit that loop out there and the minute society hits you in the mouth, because it's going to, whether you're a Christian or not, we all deal with problems. But I don't want my life looking like this neither. This isn't what I want my life to look like. This isn't what I want my kids to see. This isn't what I want the community to see when they see me. Number three. Thorny soil. Choked by worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, making it unfruitful. The thorny soil allows no room for the seed to grow due to materialistic things. That's exactly what it's saying. Matthew 13 and 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the one that's more worried about the house that they live in, what kind of shoes they're wearing, what kind of car they're driving, what social environment they're in, if their kids look the coolest, if their house is the biggest, if they live in the right neighborhood, and they give their life for this, for what? For status. To be something in the community that you're not called to be. Find it in the Bible where you're called to be some rich pillar in the community. You can't. Because we chase this thing and it turns into our God, and we chase, and there's no room for God. There's no room. God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. I promise, if you saw my truck, you would know it. God doesn't care what kind of house you live in. If you saw my house, you'd know it. He doesn't. I've had these clothes forever. I'll probably be wearing them Sunday. You know what? God doesn't care. God cares about the condition of your heart. He cares about the soil that's in your heart. He does not want your life to look like this. This is what a materialistic life will leave you. And at the end of the day, when you lay your head down, if this is what you want to look like, keep chasing that junk. Because what you're doing is you're chasing the enemy. This is what your life will look like. And I promise, guys, whether you know it or not, you think you can hide it, but you can't hide it. Because what's on the inside is going to show. We will see it. Oh, but there's hope. There's always hope with Christ. God says, you know, here's three that's, they ain't going to get you nowhere. Because the great thing about me, he says, all you need is one. You don't need three, you need one. You don't need three different sizes, you need one. One. This one trumps all the other three, and it's good soil. Someone who not only hears, like we talked about, but understands what God is doing and saying about their lives and or situation. 13 and 23 says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That's good soil. That's this right here. This is what I want my life to look like. You keep feeding this, keep fertilizing, it'll keep growing. It'll be big as me. You don't think I ain't been fed and fertilized for a long time? This is it right here. Is there anybody in this room who would prefer their life to look like this?
Miss Sarah, I know you don't, baby.
You want this right here. I know what you want. This is what we all want, and guess what? It's available for each and every one of you tonight. It doesn't matter if you've been in the ministry for 30 years or this is your first night here. It's available for you through Jesus Christ. The second thing that ensures spiritual growth is identify what tends to devour and destroy your seed. We all know what, I know what mine is. I battle it every day through Christ. I know what tends to devour me and destroy what God's put in my heart. And each and every one of you truly knows what it is. If you don't know what it is, spend some time with God. He'll show it to you, I promise. I promise. Let me make sure I'm doing okay. I don't want to get in trouble. I got just a second. I want to tell y'all a story. I had a friend call me last week. Been in church his whole life. Started going here just a little bit over a year ago. And I'm not praising the church. I'm talking about this individual. Started going here and really started investing himself in the church in the sense of changing the soil of his heart. He walked into a mechanic shop. Y'all know mechanic shop's pretty rough. You don't just, it's rough in a mechanic shop. This guy doesn't know this mechanic. This guy is a salesman. He sees him about once every 3 months, and he walks into this mechanic shop, and this full-grown mechanic comes broken. He says, man, he says, "My, I just lost my 19-year-old son. This is 2 weeks ago. He said, I just lost my 19-year-old son, and he said, I lost my wife. He said, you look like a praying man. He said, would you pray for me? He don't know him. But what he does recognize is hope. What he does recognize is light over darkness. What he does recognize is something's different about this individual. This guy's not special. He chose me as a friend. He can't be that cool. He's just an average Joe guy, but guess what? He has the right soil in his heart, which makes him extraordinary because the seed of Christ is showing in his life. And he walked in to a room with a perfect stranger, and that stranger said, you know what? There's something different about you, son. I don't know what it is, and I can't explain it, but what you got, I want. Will you pray for my family? Will you pray for me? That right there is a product of good soil. Because if he'd have walked up in there with rocky soil or thorny soil or hard surface soil, he'd have looked like everybody else in that room. But because he walked up in there with good soil in his heart, God said, you know what? I can work with that. I can work with a cultivated heart. I can work with someone who's willing to serve, who's willing to love, who's willing to sacrifice, who's willing to be generous, who's willing to give. And he may have been the only thing that day, that week, that month, that guy seen that was a vision of Jesus. And it wasn't nothing he said. He just recognized Jesus Christ on this boy's face and in his heart because of the condition of his soul. So that's what I want my life to look like. I think everybody in here tonight wants that too. We're going to jump over here to this group work. We'll get with your table host. All right, and what we want to do is we're going to look at these three scriptures. Y'all going to do this together at your table. If y'all want to join tables, y'all can. If y'all want to do it just with y'all, it's fine. And what we want to do is we want to determine what the enemy used to try to devour and destroy the seeds God was planting in the heart of these three Bible characters. Tommy, can we get a little music? It scares my wife a lot as I'm very transparent. Very transparent. I'll pretty much tell you anything. That's just how I operate. And so December the 26th, God convicted me of a major thing in my life, and that was my weight. And the reason I tell you all this, I no shame in it, it's, you know, it was genetically bred into me to eat and live like I did. I mean, that's just how my family was. But God said, you know, spiritually, son, he said, you've grown a lot, but physically, you're not pleasing to me. And there is a very parallel world we're not going to get into about being physically healthy and spiritually healthy. And so 2019, this is a big thing God's calling me to do. But along this journey, I started December the 26th, like I said. And along this journey, something I deal with every single day is something these guys dealt with. Just as Zechariah dealt with doubt, the enemy brings doubt to me every day saying, can you do this? Hasn't worked before. Can you really do this? Are you going to quit? Is it worth it? And every day I have to replace doubt with the word of God and say, yes, I can, because he is able. And then he wants to well up in me discouragement. Well, the opposite of discouragement is courage. And he wells up this discouragement in my life, just like he did with David and his wife, Michael. He wants to well this discouragement saying, hey, this is too big of a hill for you to climb. You're going to do this for a year? You really going to put that much effort and energy into doing this? You're going to make this decision every day to wake up and be different? Wow, that's a... Because if you can tell, I don't need to lose 5 pounds. I have to have a life change. And when life change comes, it comes with some discouragement. But I can tell you, when I look at the cross and I can look at Jesus and the blood, because see, the blood wasn't just for salvation. The blood was for everything. The blood is for me to be empowered and have the authority to say, you know what? I have the courage to do this through Jesus Christ. And then he wants to bring fear into my life. Well, if you know one thing about me, I don't scare easily. And I'm not scared of this, and it's not because I'm a big, tough guy. I don't scare of this because I know when I wake up and I stick my feet in the ground every morning that my wife's going to support me, my friends and family are going to support me, but most of all, when I stick my feet in the ground, I know that Jesus Christ has a way for me. And that way to this path, to defeat this, the wiles and the tools of the enemy, it's through a relationship with Jesus. He covers even weight loss. And I started December 26th, and it's whatever day it is, and I don't, on applause or nothing, but I've lost 26 pounds. And I don't tell you that for accolades. I tell you that to show you God is in every portion of our life if you'll allow him in. Why is it, do you think the enemy will use anything that he knows to steal or damage our seed? What do y'all think? Why will he use any tool possible? Do what? That's very good. Stephen?
To turn from the right path you're trying to go.
That's right. Tina? That's good. It's detrimental to his plan. He knows that if you get good soil, if you get your heart condition right, he knows what God's going to do because he kind of knows God. He's seen his power, and he knows you'll be detrimental to his system and his plan if he can't steal your seed, if he can't destroy it. And he also used complacency. Complacency and neglect in tending to your seeds. And that's what we're fixing to go over right now, is some of the ways we neglect the seed. Tommy, if you will. All right. I put them all up here. I just want to read them, and then we're going to discuss them. You stop watering your seed. You stop pulling out the weeds that steal nutrients from your seeds. You stop fertilizing your seed. And you place your seed in conditions that prevent growth. Now, this is the interactive part of the class. I'm gonna make you feel uncomfortable a little bit because I'm going to ask you questions. And I'll do the first one, okay, just to kind of show you. So what does it mean when you stop watering your seed? Well, first of all, you got to understand what it means to water your seed. Watering your seed is prayer. Persistent prayer. Relationship with God. And if y'all have ever heard me speak, I will use this verse 1,000 times till I die because I believe it. In Matthew 6:33, seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the things will be added. You put God first. How do you put God first? Well, you talk to him through prayer. God should be the first thing you wake up to in the morning and talk to. You should put him before being a mom. You should put him before being a dad. If you want to be a good husband, seek God. You want to be a good wife, seek God. You want to be a good mom, seek God. You want to be a good dad, seek God. You want to be a good boss or employee, seek God. Persistent prayer keeps us watered. You can fertilize a plant all day long. If it don't have water, it'll wilt and die. So when we quit praying persistently, we quit watering our seed. Now this is where y'all come in. Number two, you stop pulling out the weeds that steal the nutrients from your seed. What does this mean? What does it mean when we pull out the weeds? Say that again. That's good. What else? What else is it? What are we doing when we pull the weeds and stuff out from a garden? Cleaning house.
Say that again. Taking out the influences in your life that are not.
That's great. You hear that? Take out the influences in your life. You got to remove. Do what?
Say that again.
Bitterness.
You got to remove the sin in your life. You got to get it out. How do you remove sin? Mr. Dupuchain, what was that? Repent. That's it. That's how you pull the weeds out of your life. You repent. You turn away from it. You get away from that junk. You get away from them weeds. They ain't no good. I don't garden at all. I hate it because, and listen, you want a cactus to die, bring it to my house. I give it 2 weeks tops. 2 weeks. But I know that weeds kill a garden. It chokes out the life of the good plant, the good seed. The next one is you stop fertilizing your seed. What does this mean? How do you fertilize a seed? What are you doing to it? Feeding it. How do you feed your heart? God's word. What else? What else? Come on. Whoa, who said that? Who said that? Say that again.
Music.
Oh, praise and worship music. I tell you what. I had an encounter with God in my house a while ago with three kids acting a fool through music. He even quietened my kids. And if y'all know my kids don't quieten easy. What else? There's something else I'm looking. What else do we do? Prayer, but there's something else. What else do we do within the church? What else do we do with brothers and sisters? Do what? Serve. That's it. I tell you what, you want to get your heart right? You go serving others. Go laying your life down for your neighbor, the one that you don't think deserves it, for your enemy. Go lay your life down for your brother or sister in Christ. That'll change the condition of your heart. Because what that does is that puts you in the shoes of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. Every day he woke up serving others to the cross. He didn't do nothing for himself. He didn't have no Nike Airs. He walked everywhere in sandals. He dressed like me most of the time, probably. He just was a lot skinnier. Maybe I need to walk around in sandals a lot more. And then the last one, you place your seed in conditions that prevent growth. What does that look like?
Hardened heart.
Well, what are these places they're talking about? What creates the hardened heart? What are these places that we're talking about? What are the places that we put ourselves in that prevent growth? I ain't scared to run over. Say that again, Kevin.
Bad association spoils useful habits.
There you go. Bad associations. What else? Compromises. Hey, that's really good. Compromises. Isolation. What else? That's good, Dan. Bad relationships. What? Walking. Very good. Being offended. Listen, ladies, I'm speaking to you. If that guy isn't dragging you to church, leave him. If that guy is not pushing you to Jesus, if he doesn't love Jesus more than he loves you, unless you're married to him, it ain't right. He's putting you in a position. I'm telling you. I promise. Men, lead your women. Lead them. Right, be the thermostat. I'm not going to praise you, men. I'm a man. We have a lot of work to do, men. A lot of work to do. But if we want to grow, we'll make sure that the women we're seeking has a more intimate, chasing relationship of Jesus Christ than she does us any day. You want a woman to love you right? Find you one that loves Jesus more than she loves you. You can't beat her off with a stick. I promise. I had to marry mine twice. That's right. That's right. And number three, guys, those were great. Number three. See, Taylor, I told you I'd get you back on track. Consistently protect and nourish your seeds. Consistently. Means daily. Daily protect and nourish your seeds. You can't do it on Sunday morning and expect it to last the next 6 days. It will not work. I promise I've tried it. Daily. You don't eat once a week. I know I don't. What happens if you left the church parking lot and you got to work all next week and you work in Nacogdoches and you live in Lufkin and you put an eighth of a tank of gas in your car? What's going to happen? You're going to run out. You're going to be walking. And me and my ugly truck's going to have to pick you up. You might prefer walking. So how do we consistently protect and nourish your seed? Number one, don't let people tramp or eat your seed. If they're not speaking life into you and they're speaking death into you, kick them to the curb. But we're not meant to speak. We're not meant to speak death into people. Well, we're meant to speak life into people. The people that influence you, who give you advice, the ones you go to cry to on a shoulder, if they're not pointing you to the face and the heart of Jesus, I'm not telling you to excommunicate them. But you need to find a source of Jesus Christ to take your problems to or your concerns to ask advice, because if they're not pointing you toward Jesus, there's only one other place that they can point you to. There is no in-between, I promise. I tried the in-between. It ain't no fun. It's tough. It wears you out. It's a great diet program, but I don't want to lose it like that. Number two, now this one's just cut and dry. Spend time in the presence of God, which adds spiritual depth to your soul. Spend time. How do you spend time in the presence of God? Somebody asked me that. Well, how do you know that God's present? He's present, I promise you. Are you breathing? That's God. We don't take a breath without the power of Christ in our life. So if you're breathing, God's in your presence. Matthew 7:7. Asking it will be given, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be open. Ask for his presence, seek his face, and knock at the door. That scripture is not a get-rich scheme. He is not a genie in a bottle. He's not a genie in anything. But if you'll seek his face, I promise you, he's there. If you'll knock, he'll answer. And if you ask to be in the presence of your Father, he'll answer every time. I promise. That's how you spend time in the presence of God. It's not some big equation. It's not some ritualistic thing you have to do. It's just a matter of submitting yourself and your time and your energy and saying, God, I desire to be at the foot of the throne. I desire to be in your presence. And there is nothing in this world more valuable, more life-changing, that allows more vision, that allows more joy, allows more peace, allows more hope than the presence of Jesus Christ. Nothing better. There's no drug that can trump it. There's no relationship that can trump it. There's no bar or club or friend or event or vacation or hobby or anything else that you chase that can trump the presence of Jesus Christ. Number three, this is my favorite one. You can ask my wife. Drives her crazy sometimes. Stop worrying and learn to trust God. Those two words, stop worrying, are a whole lot easier said than done. I understand that. But the Bible even has an instruction manual for that. Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Verse 27 says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? You can worry yourself to death, ain't going to change nothing. It's not going to change your circumstance. But if you replace that worry with faith, well, how do you get faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? There's that word again. You got to listen. Hearing the word of God. Listening to the word of God. Not just hearing it like a clanging cymbal, but listen to it. Absorb it. Allow it to get down in your soul and your soil. And have faith and know his word. If you know his word, you can read his word back to the enemy and back to God, and it will not return void. That's how you draw faith. That's how you get stronger. That's the reason why you have to do this daily and consistently. And the last one, number four, keep them in good soil by what? Spending time in prayer and in his presence, and read and apply God's word to your life. I'm going to read those again. Spend time in prayer and his presence. Read and apply God's word to your life. There's a common denominator in all of this. A common denominator in protecting your seed. There's a common denominator in making sure it doesn't get devoured by the enemy. What's that common denominator? Huh? God's presence. Relationship. That's how you do it. Jesus is the common factor in all of this. The one factor that changes the whole entire game. And we have full access to him 24 hours. He's like a McDonald's. There's lanes open, buddy, and you can get it anytime you want to. I want to read this quote to you, and then I'm going to close in prayer and turn it back over to Taylor. This quote is from an author named Cole. And it says, now hear me, guys. Amy, will you come to the board, please? While the truth of the message does not vary, means the word of God doesn't change, means his seed does not change. Just hang on, I'll tell you. Don't write this down. While the truth of the message does not vary, the nature of the response is determined by the nature of the heart that receives it. That's what this whole teaching is about. I'm going to read it one more time. And if y'all want this, you can have it. While the truth of the message does not vary, God's seed does not change, his truths do not change. They don't go to the left or to the right. They are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. They do not change. God does not change his power. It's all powerful. It's everywhere. He was before you. He's with you right now. And he is standing at a road, down the road, waiting on you to choose the right path. And your soil will determine if you end up with Jesus or like this. He's already ahead of us. The message does not change, but the nature of the response. This is the response. This is the response. The response is the fruit. The response is the results. It is determined by the nature of the heart that receives it. Amy, I want you to write this, and I'm going to close. The potential is in the soil. Y'all can tell she's a teacher. I'm like 1 minute off. I'm killing it. But the power is in the seed. Taylor said this when she started this, and God had me write this at the very end of my lesson. Now, if you don't think God's not speaking to you tonight, you need to wake up. The potential's in the soil, right here. All right? God doesn't need potential. He's got all the potential in the world. He's perfect. The potential lies within us to make the decision to what soil we choose. But the power, well, that's where I want my power to come from as a seed. I want my power to come from the Word of God because it withstands eternity. Let us pray. Gracious Father, I come to you, and God, I thank you. I thank you that on a Wednesday night when the world's in chaos, we can show up in your house, Father God, and your presence fall. God, we could be driving in the car. We could be at home cooking dinner. We could be in the worst place of our life, God. And when we decide to look up to you and to seek your face and to seek your heart, God, you will not fail to show up. And God, I pray that your spirit and your presence be upon every student in this class. I pray it be upon the table host. I pray it be upon our pastors at this church and everything this church is doing, God, to reach the lost. God, I pray that your spirit falls like rain. God, I pray that you convict and change and purify with fire, God, the hearts that are in here so that they may see what true freedom is, that they may know that there is a better way with Jesus Christ. God, empower us this week to look different to society. God, empower us this week to be the light in a dark world. And we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Let's give Justin a round of applause, please. Yeah, thank you, Justin. Excellent. We have just a few minutes before you guys are going to get up and walk out of here. And right now, if you'll flip to Appendix D in the back of your book, we're going to apply the things that we learned here tonight. Because how many of you know you'll get up and go home and forget some of the stuff? The manual gets put on the kitchen counter or it gets put in the car and kind of forgot about until next week. So Appendix D. I'll give you guys a few minutes to do some self-reflection, some self-inventory right now with God. It's between you and God. These answers aren't going to be read aloud. You can share them with your friends or your spouse if you want to, but this is between you and God right now. I'll give you guys a few minutes to answer those. Tommy, can I have a little bit of music? All right, you guys, if you didn't have a chance to finish that, please take it home. Work on it this week. And I know Justin touched upon a lot of things with spending time with God. Right now, flip to the very back of your manual. Flip to the very back of your manual. You will find a Bible reading plan specifically designed for those in Grow Track 1. It's a 5-day Bible reading plan. We are asking you, challenging you, encouraging you, water your seeds, fertilize your seeds, get in the Word of God. We're putting that in your hand. We want you to start this week. It's an 11-week plan. It will take you to the very end of Grow Track 1. Also, he talked about weeds and some rocky soil. If you're maybe one of those people that you constantly have the same weeds popping up in your garden, the roots are going down deep, but the soil is a little shallow because you've got some boulders in there. I want to encourage you guys to sign up for Encounter. Encounter kicks off February 17th. That's a Sunday night here in the chapel. There's sign-up sheets on every table. Encounter is an 8-week class that's equipped to help you deal with those things that just kind of keep popping up that you can't seem to get rid of. Or figure out why you can't get rid of that or get that out of your life or stop that habit or get rid of that attitude or stop being mad at that person. You want to get signed up for Encounter. Like I said, there's sign-up sheets on every table. With that, we love you guys. So glad you're here. We're a couple minutes over. You are dismissed, and we'll see you next week.